we're going to have a really short piece from James, the Body Fix coach, something that will help your well-being. But remember, it's advisable to speak to your doctor before you start any significant exercise regime. Enjoy.
Hello, my little chickens. Do you remember in the last series we did a session with James Bacon, health and fitness and mobility coach, and you guys seemed to really enjoy that one. So, and we got interrupted by sheep that time as well, if I remember rightly. So we're out in the country. We're actually in a converted dairy shed that's now a gym in the Staffordshire countryside near Burton-on-Trent. James, come and join me, mate. You asked us for some more stretching, mobility, strength, core exercises that you can do on and around the farm. Isn't that right, James?
Absolutely. So what we're going to be showing you today is some nice, simple exercises that we can implement into our daily working life to make things a lot easier for yourselves.
And I'll try and explain what he's doing so that if you're listening to this rather than watching it, you can still take part as well. So we're going to do a little sort of 5 minute section on each of the 12 podcasts, and so that you can on a regular basis start building your stretching mobility repertoire so that you get a stronger core and get injured less. Sort out your back and your knees a bit, hey? That'll be good. Yeah,
absolutely.
See in a bit.
All right, so what I thought we'd do on this first podcast, a little snippet, we're going to have a look at manual handling training. So you may experience throughout the day that your back starts to hurt quite a lot, and when you get over at night time, you're just finding it difficult to sleep, all right? So what to teach you on manual handling training, if you've ever been on one, is to lift with the legs and not the back, right? But for some people, that is actually quite hard because we have lots of different muscles that may not be working correctly. So I'm going to show you a few different exercises. I'm going to first going to apply it to an exercise in what we do in the gym called the deadlift. And then I'll show you some variations. We've got a keg with us today and a sandbag as well. So you can apply this technique to those, whatever you're lifting throughout the day. Okay, so what we find most of the time when we're lifting, we tend to use the back muscles to pick things up. So I'll show you this from a side angle and what it's not supposed to look like to start with.
So James has got a bar with about 5 kilos of weight on. The bar probably weighs a bit by itself, I'd imagine.
15.
About 15. So you can tell he's lifting about 20 kilos. By his standards, not a lot. But that's kind of the kind of weight a big sack of grain would be or something like that. So let's try and describe what he's doing.
So this is how not to lift to start with. So you tend to find, especially as you get on throughout the day as well, you're very tired and you start to lift with other parts of your body that you're not supposed to be lifting with. So I'll give a quick demonstration. David can just guide through it as we're going.
So he's just sort of bending over. His knees are slightly bent and he's trying to lift, but almost up and over his knees.
So that's not how to lift, okay? So as you notice, what I'm doing, I'm just grabbing onto something and I'm pushing through my back to lift it up. So you can imagine the amount of force we put on the back throughout that each day. Eventually it's going to lead to back pain, right? So whenever we lift with something or lift something up, think of it as a push away from the floor. So we're pushing the floor away. Okay, whether that's on a hay bale, a beer barrel, or whatever you're lifting throughout the day, take a nice comfortable hold. So I've got my barbell here. I've got slight knees bent, and what I want to get into the habit of doing is pushing my bum back. So if you can imagine there's a car door open behind you, I'm going to close it with my bum and I'm going to take my chest down towards the floor. So imagine there's a button on the floor. So I'm going to close the door and put my chest on that button.
So his feet are about 10, 11 inches apart.
Well, so I've got ankles, knees and hips in line, and wherever you can obviously comfortably get your hands around the object you're going to lift. So from here, I'm thinking about taking a deep breath into my stomach, into my core. And all I'm going to do then is start the initiation of the push through my ankles and through my knees, and then I can comfortably get through here.
So his feet are planted firmly on the floor, he took a deep breath in and he lifted, pushing from the feet up through the ankles and the legs, not just putting it all on the back.
Absolutely. So I'm using my glutes, my butt cheeks, I'm using my hamstrings, and I'll probably get a little bit of my quads, my thighs in there as well. But all I'm doing, I'm pushing the floor away. Ideally when you lift something, try and keep your hips low until it's in line with your knees and you can bring your hips through safely. And then that everything there, even on the way down, is through my legs rather than my back.
Fantastic. Okay, and then moving on. Now James is standing over a barrel. It's laid on its side for this exercise. It's a barrel of, it looks like an empty beer barrel. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So you might have barrels full of pesticides, chemicals, grain, seed. So he's standing behind it with his hands on his hips, looking gorgeous.
Thank you. So same technique applies. Obviously, it's just going to vary on the size of the object you're lifting. So we can always just play around with our foot position a little bit. Again, because I've got this longer, sort of bigger barrel, I might just want to take my feet a little bit wider so I can get down into it and grab onto it here. But still, I'm trying to keep my chest nice and tall. I've put my bum back against the wall or closed the car door. I've braced my core by taking a nice deep breath through the nose. And then I'm just going to push through my legs to lift up.
So he's laid the barrel on its side. He's not trying to lift it from a vertical position. He's laid it horizontally on the floor and picking it up from the ends. Makes perfect sense. How about carrying it, James, once they've lifted it? If they've got to carry it across the yard or...
Sure. So once we've lifted it up again, you might want to tip it onto its end to lift it. And then we just want to try and keep this, whatever it is, pulled in tight towards us. Again, if we start taking things away from us at any point, lower back's going to start kicking in. You're going to probably feel it in the core a little bit more, but lower back will get tired if we're keeping things away. Again, it's just finding the right place for you to put it that feels comfortable. Core nice and tight the whole time. And just try and keep everything stacked up so my chest is on top of my hips and my hips are on top of my ankles.
And as long as it's safe, therefore, is it actually true that the higher you get the weight, the safer it is for you to carry?
It can be. The most difficult thing for anybody to do is put something above the head.
Yeah.
Because I've got a lot of different stabilisers throughout the body which have got to work.
So I saw you pulled it in close to your stomach and chest, held it there, but also then if that's too much of a hassle, you could put it up on your shoulder.
Get it up on the shoulder as long as it feels comfortable for you.
Oh, wonderful. So that's the barrel. And then finally, we have...
Here's what you could have won.
A big sack. You might have sacks of grain, seed, sand, cement...
Yeah, it's just thinking about obviously that object and how you've got to lift it. Again, I'm trying to avoid lifting with my back and pulling through my back. I'm always pushing away from the floor. So again, this one's a 30 kilo sandbag. So I'm going to take my legs a little bit wider. I'm going to think about keeping my chest up. This time, rather than hinging out, I'm just going to think about coming down and lowering myself between my legs until I can get a comfortable grip. So I'm going to get my hands underneath, tipping the bag a little bit. Keep my chest up nice and tall. I've got that deep brace in my core, and I'm just going to push through the floor again. Once I've got it to here, I can bring it up safely, nice and tight, and take it away. Yeah?
And that, my little chicken, sees how to be a bit safer lifting things on your farm. Paul, we've had a lot of our guests and farmers talk to us about change, and for millennia it's been a difficult subject for people to deal with and cope with. Why do you think that is? Why do people fear change?
Well, there's a phrase, first of all, that says the only human being that does like change is a baby in a dirty nappy. Other than that, none of us like change, and the main reason is because it's uncomfortable. It often will be challenging habits, it can be challenging our security, our sense of control, because I know what I'm doing. Change almost challenges every aspect of our being. We like consistency, although we have, some of us like to take adventures and do different things. For most of us, we like the safety and security of knowing what's expected of us and doing what we always do. That's the first thing. It almost goes against our human instinct. There's probably a bit of fear response in there as well, of if I do something I'm not certain about, or I do something that's more risky, is that going to invoke that flight or flight? Response. So I think it's almost inherently anti us as a human being. We crave that safety and security of knowing what's expected of us. So that's really why we dislike change of any description. With this being recorded in June 2024, we've got the UK election going on, and a lot of that debate is about change. Do we want this? Do we want that? Do we want the certainty of what we've already got? Do we want the uncertainty of what we might have? That's why really change is something that we really all find quite difficult to tackle.
Now, you hit on two things there. You talked about it challenges our sense of security, and it challenges our, what was the other word you said?
Control.
Now, those are two of the big three reasons that cause us stress. We desire more or fear a lack of control. We desire more or fear a lack of security. And we desire more or fear a lack of acceptance or approval. And any one of those three things, if we desire more or fear a lack of them, can cause stress. In fact, some of the people I've interviewed for my research suggest that all of our problems, all of our anxieties, stresses and angst, because we desire more or fear a lack of one or two or those three things. So it's little wonder farmers are a little bit resistant to change.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think change is everywhere, every single day, from going down a different route on the motorway because the sat-nav's told you to go somewhere you're unfamiliar with. Yeah, it's constant. It's thrown at us every second of the day. Am I having the same breakfast this morning? You know, oh gosh, the milk's gone off. What do I do now? We're dealing with change at a rapid rate every single day. And then we wonder why, when on a farm we want to implement a change of process, or it might even be just a change of supplier, a different brand of feed arrives, and everyone goes, oh, what's a bit different? It's the fear of difference. Yeah. And actually, as a man who loves paradoxes, often it's difference that's our strength, not our weakness, if we think about that in terms of our team, true, if we're all the same. So change is what drives difference, but we can be scared of that. So I think, you know, it's a fascinating subject that we can unpick maybe this season, as to how do we deal with that? How do we deal with both the internal, the thing you were just saying about the lack of or desire for more of,
yeah,
those emote, how does it affect us, our own flight or fight response? But then how do we get our team to change with us? It's a massive subject.
Now, you talk about that. There's so much fear. And if we drill it down, most people fear failure. Mm-hmm. They don't want change because they don't want to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means they're out of control, they're not feel secure,
and
they'd probably get peers ridicule them or family laugh at them. So it's little wonder we resist change, but that fear of failure can be overcome. I'm interested in your take on this. My speaker buddy Nigel Risner, I don't know if you know Nigel.
Yeah.
Well, Uncle Nige, he says that we don't fear failure, we fear uncertainty. If you get certainty, so go out of your way to get the knowledge, the skills, or the reason why you must do this thing, it actually removes an awful lot of that fear because you have certainty. It's like you don't know how to mix the pesticides until you do know how. Then you don't fear it anymore because you have certainty.
So pause there, Dave. I think this is a really good point, because when we talk, and if we'll perhaps talk another session about how we implement change successfully,
yeah,
one of the most unsuccessful ways to implement change is to not give people the information to give them the certainty that they know what to do. So, you know, asking someone, can you just come and do this for me today?
Yeah.
And they've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, I'm not too keen to do that. It's because they haven't got that certainty you're talking
absolutely
about. So one of the things about managing change, and we talk about that perhaps another session, is taking the time to explain to people and listen to people's fears. If we don't listen to people's fears about a change you want to implement, those fears are still going to be there. But if we listen, you know, what is it? A problem shared is a problem halved.
Indeed.
So the moment that I articulate my fears about a change you want to implement in the business, that fear starts to go down, and we have the opportunity as a leader to create some certainty. But I understand why you're feeling that way. This is what the plan is. We'll make sure that you're well trained. We'll make sure that you have all the equipment that you need. Now I feel more certain.
Yeah. I actually felt a weight lifting off as you said that. and to conclude, I interviewed just after lockdown very, very effective employers.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them about change, because at the time everyone was talking,
of course,
about
yeah,
colossal change.
Pivoting, it was called then.
Pivoting, yeah. And the massive change industry was going through. And I looked at really effective leaders. And when I asked them, how do you deal with the change? And they all agreed, every single one of them, when I asked them, I said, we drive it. Because if you're driving change, you're excited, you're motivated, you're inspired, you're taking action. You are getting that certainty. If you're reacting to change, isn't it any wonder that you're afraid?
Yeah, perfect. I've got a 12-step program for change. We'll perhaps talk about that another time.
Yeah.
12 steps to go through the actual process of implementing a change successfully. Driving it is one of them.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, Hope that was useful to you. Yeah. Yeah. And ask yourself today, what can you drive in terms of the change that's needed on your farm? See you soon.
See you soon.